Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland, thank you for coming to my channel. I'm talking about the cabinet of Andy Burnham. No longer have a knight as Prime Minister, a plain mister. So Andy Burnham has been Prime Minister for only 2 days. Feels like a fairly long time already. So Burnham tried to sweep out the Starmerites and he was surprisingly decisive. I didn't think he'd go that far. So he rewarded those who helped bring down his predecessor, Starmer. And maybe he's also signifying, if you're loyal to me, then I will pay you back. John Healey, who was the Defence Secretary, who resigned about a fortnight before Starmer finally threw through in the towel, sending a sort of a blistering resignation letter, even though the funding was not that far short of what Healey wanted. So John Healy's been promoted Chancellor of the Exchequer. Now, everybody knew that Rachel Reeves was going to be chucked out. I thought she'd be given something or other. She'd be given an offer, a junior cabinet position. Possibly she was. She may have turned it down. Now, for a party that's really into diversity, I thought, well, they will not appoint a white man to that position. But he did, and an older white man, a guy who's in his high 60s. So talk about pale, male, and stale. So obviously, Burnham's not got the DEI memorandum. Now, I don't care. I mean, I'm against the sort of DEI agenda. Recognize that it's racist, it's inegalitarian, it's, well, certainly not pluralist, it's bigoted, it's totalitarian, and it's monstrous. So I really would appoint on merit. And the person could be non-white or white or female or male or whatever. But Labour definitely is in two quotas. But he's appointed Healey like that. All right. Ed Miliband, former leader of the Labour Party. And people were saying, was he going to be Chancellor of the Exchequer? And the Trump administration warned very strongly against that. Has Burnham been pushed around by Trump? I don't know. But the markets wouldn't have liked it, seeing as a red Ed was too left-wing. He's been appointed Foreign Secretary. Well, the full title is such a mouthful. Secretary of State for Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs. Okay. The thing that surprised me is they got rid of David Lammy, the Deputy Prime Minister. I thought he'd get something, you know, as the most senior black member of the government, but maybe he saw them. No, you stood by Starmer to the end. Had you turned your coat earlier, would have kept you on. Obviously, Miliband had served in the Starmer cabinet, but as Energy Secretary, but his net zero policy, his policy of refusing to allow oil and gas fields was killing the economy. Now, Shabana Mahmood is still there as Home Secretary. So she's one of the few people to be in the cabinet in the same position. Most of them have been moved to others, so seeing that she's fairly successful. The most senior-ranking Asian cabinet minister, Louise Hay, was brought back into the cabinet, having resigned in disgrace last year when it was emerged from a fraud conviction. Now, I do have some sympathy for her. I mean, if she what she said was true, it was a misunderstanding over a mobile phone contract. She said she's being made First Secretary of State. Now, there is no Deputy Prime Minister, but that is more or less the same thing, really. Okay, so she's Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, which is a sinecure, and Minister for the Cabinet Office. So the Cabinet Office, which coordinates all the other ones, because you know there are about 23 Cabinet Ministers, including the Prime Minister. Prime Minister's one, okay, so he, and then there's the Chancellor Exchequer and Chief Secretary of the Treasury. The Treasury is the only one with two Cabinet Ministers, which is the Chancellor and the Chief Secretary of the Treasury. The Prime Minister's one is called the Cabinet Office, which is to coordinate between all the others. All right, so she's in charge of that. Pat McFadden, he's a Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. Again, he's an older white man. Even worse, he's straight. Okay, so and now Wes Streeting, the most senior gay cabinet minister, tried to claim he was a minority that way. He was one of those who resigned as health secretary to help bring down Starmer. Now, he's been given his, 20 pieces of silver by being Secretary of State for Defense. But the odd thing is, you know, Healey was saying, you know, the Treasury's not giving enough money to defense, so I'm going to resign. And now he's in charge of the Treasury. Well, he better find that money. I don't know how he's going to do it. Yvette Cooper's been demoted. She's still in the cabinet. So she was Foreign Secretary. She's now Health Secretary, which was obviously Wes Streeting's previous position. So she's an absolutely evil person, a paedophobe, should be directly responsible for murders of girls and boys by the NHS. And she'll still smile about it, the little pixie. Wow. Vile. Okay, so Lucy Powell, and she's the deputy leader of the Labour Party, she's been made Education Secretary. So she's from Lucy Powell, Lucy Bitty Manchester Central, a constituency which almost abuts Burnham's Makerfield bailiwick. So Miatta Van Bulla has been promoted. So she's now Secretary of State for Energy, Security and Net Zero, which was previously Miliband's position. So she's this sort of stellar mind economist. Is she the most senior black woman, the only black woman in the cabinet? Angela Rayner has been brought back into cabinet despite resigning over her lies, over her theft, not paying her tax and so on. And HMSC supposedly absolved her. We don't know that. Why hasn't she published the letter? If it was so exculpatory, she would publish it, because it's not so exculpatory. Anyway, she's got her old job back of Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, something more or less her idol, the sex pest John Prescott held that office. Now she was Deputy Prime Minister. It's obviously far junior to where she was before. Jonathan Reynolds, the not solicitor. He's Secretary of State for Business and Trade, as well as President of the Board of Trade. Same thing, really. Now that was an antiquated title. That was abolished in the early 20th century, despite it being antique. It was reanimated by Michael Heseltine. It appealed greatly to his vanity in the early 90s, President of the Board of Trade. So that is Jonathan Reynolds. And as a solicitor said to me, you know, you'd be sacked in any other company for claiming to have a qualification you didn't have. In fairness, if he was a trainee solicitor. All right. So Heidi Alexander, she's in as Transport Secretary, one of the most boring people in the cabinet. And then we've got Alex Norris as Lord Chancellor, Secretary of State for Justice. Now, he's not a barrister or solicitor. It's not required to be. But until, say, 20 years ago, they always were. So like Liz Truss was the first woman, I think the only woman today to hold that office. Okay. So in charge of the legal system. We've got Dame Angela Eagle. She's been there since, is it 1997? One of the Blair babes, the only open lesbian in the cabinet. And she's Secretary of State for Environment, Rural and Food and Rural Affairs. We've got Lisa Nandy. She's an Asian woman. Well, you can have to have more brown people in the cabinet. Now, don't want to be disrespectful to her. She's very an accomplished politician, was deputy leader of the Labour Party for some years under Jeremy Corbyn. She's Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport. Okay, so Chris Bryant, who's been there since, my goodness, was it the 90s? No, 2001, a former Anglican priest. So he's Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. So the only other openly gay Northern Ireland Secretary was Peter Mandelson, who got that office in 1999. I remember it was Peter Brooke going to talk about him and saying his sexuality will be a problem for him. Some people in the province have strong views on the issue. Dr. Paisley's party have very strong views on the issue. But I think a generation on things have moved on. It won't be a problem for Sir Chris. Okay. Douglas Alexander, who represents Lothian East, therefore in North Britain, he's Secretary of State for Scotland. Remember, he's someone from the Labour, from the Blair Brown years, who came back after losing his seat. Stephen Kinnock, a Red Prince, son of Neil Kinnock, who was leader of the Labour Party 1983 to 1992. He's Secretary of State for Wales. And indeed, he represents a Welsh seats, Aberfan, Maestig. I hope I pronounced it correctly, where that was that terrible Aberfan disaster in the late 60s when a whole slag heap crushed a school, killed like about 100 children. Annalise Midgley, she is Parliamentary Secretary of the Treasury and Chief Whip, as in trying to be a bit of a thug, scare people into voting the way the Prime Minister wants. Baroness Smith of Basildon, she's Lord Privy Seal and Leader of the House of Lords. Well, who was it said this? Was it Ernest Bevin? I'm sorry, neither a Lord nor a Privy nor a Seal. Okay, Sir Alan Campbell, he's Lord President of the Council, Leader of the House of Lords. Okay, he's an old-time Labour MP. What surprised me is how long in the tooth a lot of these people are. Bridget Phillipson, formerly Education Secretary, she's now Minister for Women and Equality. She already held that position, but the education part was taken away from given to her. So the other MPs who are going to Cabinet, so Emma Reynolds is Chief Secretary of the Treasury. She represents Wickham, formerly a safe Conservative seat, probably lose the Buckinghamshire seat next time. Ellie Reeves, the sister of Rachel Reeves, she's there as Attorney General, as well as Advocate General for Northern Ireland. So she is a barrister, which I'm not quite sure is legally required, but I think they've always been barristers who've held that office. And you know, all parties have a few barristers in there. So there's the first two women, super pair of sisters, to serve in the cabinet, although they're not there at the same time. And Kanishka Narayan, he's Minister of State for Artificial Intelligence. So he's one of the younger ones there. And then there's Hamish Falconer, the MP for Lincoln. He's Minister for Intergovernmental Relations, Europe Relations. So Lord Falconer, his father, was a crony of Tony Blair and his former flatmates. Some people resent the fact that he went to, I think it was, Westminster School and so on. So that is the cabinet. So Burnham loyalists, as it were, are being promoted. So they got how many women? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 12 out of 23. That is, you know, Half, more than half. Is that the very first time people haven't really commented on that one? And as for non-white people, they've got one, two, three. They might think that's actually not very many. So how diverse is it? What do you think? So they've got two people who are into same-sex relations. They might say that's quite diverse as well. But Burnham has proved himself adept. He's got emotional intelligence, unlike his predecessor, because, well, maybe just simply learned from the mistake that Labour really got off on the wrong foot when they came out with all this doom and gloom merchant. OK, you won the election. We want a bit of feel good before saying, oh, we looked at the books and the financial situation is far worse than the Tories told us. Lie. By law, you had access to all the economic data for years before that. They wanted to raise tax. They had thought, oh, God, well, how are we going to justify this? People say, why did you do that? Why did you put your manifesto? Say, well, they have to come up with this lie about that. And then they remove the winter fuel payment from the wealthier pensioners. I mean, I actually agree with that because they don't need it. And these wealthier pensioners are much better off than the most working people. So why don't you give it to the working people at the same level and so forth? But anyway, that was they paid a heavy political price for that. And they've been too downbeat. So it's came out these giveaways, taking away our VAT off household electricity. They say it'd be worth £45 a year to the average family. All right, not very much. But for a low-income family, they'll appreciate that. And even a rich family would probably rather have the £45 than not. But where does it come from? You've got to increase spending somewhere else. The £2 bus fare limit, I mean, that's good news, especially for blue-collar workers. And remember, the lowest-paid jobs, you've got to be there in person. If you're a waiter, a waitress, a cleaner, a factory worker, a farmer labourer, a builder, something like that, you've got to be the better jobs. If you can work from home, often they go by train or they go by car because they got money, they got cars, they got parking spaces at work. So that's something to help lower paid workers. But the question is, where is it going to come from? They're never going to be tax rises, borrowing so much as it is, paying so much in interest payments, and having to create more prison places. That's also going to be problematic. They're not going to release some of these violent criminals quite so early. So it was a bravura performance, his first oration at Downing Street without the lectern. Seemed to be speaking from the heart. You wouldn't want to fluff it. You're not going to get a second chance to create that first impression. So although, you know, it was not full of pyrotechnics, fairly emotional, fairly effective, steady, didn't fluff his lines. Well done. Clearly a bit anxious about it, because if he screwed up, that would be a really bad start. But although he absolutely abominate him, I recognize he is cunning, he is dangerous, he is capable. So that is the Burnham premiership to begin with. All right, toodaloo.